Kim, as long as I can remember, you've been the soundtrack for a lot of people's lives and memories. And a co-host of mine, Buzz, does a really good job. He'll say, I remember rock and roll duty when I was on the side of the road. And he'll paint people a picture of these songs. But what's interesting about the songs is everybody's picture or painting of that song could be different. Do they, when you do the meet and greets or you run into a fan, are those stories something that you reflect on or think of that you get a kick out of?
I love that stuff. A drummer once said to me that was in the band for a few years, he says, since I've been in this band, he goes, everybody that comes up to you has a Kim Mitchell story. And I said, that's the part about it I love. I mean, we're all Canadians, you know, we're all kind of the same. And I love meeting all these people and hearing their story, because it's humbling to be just a small little fabric, musical fabric in someone's life, you know, whatever that story may be. Like you say, they paint a picture of where they were, of what was happening at the time, and how that song, when it comes on, it reminds them of that. I have songs that we play that shoot off memories for me as well. So
Battle Scar, to me, dollar for dollar, is just one of the greatest. It's my personal favorite song that you've done, but might be one of my two or three favorite songs in Canadian music history. It's one of those anthems, but it's long and it's complex. And I mean, now I'm just trying to do the math in my head. It's 45 years old. Some of these songs, when they go back that far, does it feel like a day, or does it feel like 50 years? Does it feel like 40 years?
There's no time attached to it. It's more about just transmitting a musical energy through a song that's been there. I don't look at it like, oh, I've been playing this for this thing's right. So old, or it's stood up, or it hasn't, or I don't look at it like that. I just look at, these are all my kids. I as part of the writing process. And and what if there's anything cute about that song, it's the fact that all the people over the years that have come up and said, man, I really like that song you did with Rush called Battle Scar. I always correct them. I go, no, dude, it's the other way around.
A story
about they did it with us. They were the ones that were on the side of the stage every night when we toured all through America and through Europe with them, and said, man, we love that song. If you ever record it, please, we'd like to do it. So,
well,
and that's what happened. So
you talk about the side of the stage. You in Belleville / love the song. And the story that I got from the folks at the Empire Theater was that he wanted to go out and perform it with you that evening, but didn't want to take away from it, so he didn't. So I know that song has kind of spanned and gone around the world, and certainly for right. So I hear a lot of people say, time after time, you know, people, they must get sick of this song or that song, and playing them over and over again as a performer. But I thought, well, a pipe fitter does something 200 times a day. Somebody that's works in an office does something all the time. Is there any of that you get either an apathy for a song, or you get tired of playing it, or does a song take on a different energy in every venue that you move to in different city?
It's the latter, what you just said. The thrill for me is watching an audience get turned on by playing the song. It's less about me. I've always said I'm a kind of, and as weird as this might sound, I'm about customer service and rock and roll. I love playing these songs for people so that they get, we're spreading good vibes in a room,
right?
And or out in a field, and that's what it's about, and transmitting that musical energy. So if I've played Gopher Soda, a million times,
sure,
I don't really care. I'll vamp out. I'll do something a little different on the guitar, something to make it exciting for me and inspirational for me. And of course, there's been nights where you're going, oh God, I've been struggling through this. I mean, we all have those days. But yeah, pipe fitter does do things a million times, but they see a customer who's satisfied, and that kind of made it all worthwhile. And that's what it is for music in a simple looking at it in a simplistic way. So
I was curious about your, you've gone through an era where you see the technology has changed as far as the fans, mm-hmm. where if I'm at a hockey game or I'm at a concert, there's some people that are either recording through the phone or they're watching something else. Has engagement changed, or do you think it's a different type of experience that fans are having? Do you feel like they're as present as they were before all this technology?
Yeah, generally.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's the ones that hold up the cell phones, which is a bit of a head scratcher. I kind of go, I've always thought, okay, you're here, you paid money to see the band, and I find, yeah, okay, so first of all, the live experience, I think, is the same. People come to be turned on and moved by music, and that's what it is. But if you're holding a cell phone up all night, I think you have a problem. But if you're just recording a little bit, the problem with me is, and the pressure it puts on us as musicians is, and this may speak to why a lot of bands use track now and have backing vocals and have even sometimes lead vocals. They're lip syncing or they're singing along with a track is because that stuff's getting posted online. Oh, look, I went to see so-and-so last night. And if rock and roll is imperfect, I sing out of tune. We don't use any of that stuff. There's no auto tune. There's nothing. And so no singer can sing perfect, especially me. I've made a career out of yelling. When that stuff gets posted online, I kind of wince sometimes because it's not great recordings, right?
Right.
I'm not sure why people do it, but it's, you know, I've done the same. I've been to a show and standing on the side of the stage when Jeff Beck was alive, right on the side of the stage with his guitar tech. And I said, hey, can I film like about 20 seconds just for my own? I didn't post it and I never would.
Right.
And it just so happens when I turned it on, he made a heavy duty clam. So I have Jeff Beck really screwing up a couple notes on his guitar, but it's kind of the way he handled it too. Once and again, I was like, it's imperfect. Like, we're human beings. So did that answer your question at all?
Well, absolutely. And the reason you'll see people at a dinner now, there's four people at a table, three of them are on their phones, and there's one person maybe sharing a story. And that's one of the things that I always found amazing about music is it's a way for people to share stories, but it also seems to trigger our brain and our memory in a different way. Because you can pull something from 40 years back, similar to Smell, where you could say, I'm on the side of the road and that song was playing. And because that song was playing, it is now locked in a piece of my memory for the rest of my life.
Yep.
You're a guy that's seen tons of musicians. You've seen all different genres, I'm sure. And we have these ebbs and flows where hip hop or country, right now country seems to be big in the popular music genre. As far mm-hmm. as today's music, who do you think is doing rock and roll really right? Somebody that is new that you're really jiving to?
Put me on the spot.
Perhaps it's not rock.
Yeah, okay. So I'll just tell you who I've been listening a lot to is Bon Iver's album. There's a rhythm that specifically that song. I mean, I just find as a musician, I'm all over the road. I just listen to so much different stuff when at the house here, I'll throw on some folky stuff, Tiny Habits, that band, little folky bands like that. It's like really beautiful because I sit and I appreciate, wow, listen how expressive that person is on the acoustic guitar. They're just their finger picking is just excellent. And then I try and do it, and it's just like a train wreck, you know? But it's just, music is still inspiring to me. So I don't want to, you know, it's not just a certain band or a certain genre. It's just music still does inspire me. New bands, sometimes I'll be in the car and I'll blast some EDM. I can handle that stuff because I sit there and go, I've actually thrown it on in the house before and grabbed my guitar and sort of jammed along to it. And because it's kind of static music. It's very linear. It's got this thing that's going, but it's very rhythmical. And it helps me as a guitar player with phrasing. It's like, okay, yeah, I got to leave spaces. I got to do this. And John Mayer is he's a genius.
He's crazy lately. Good.
I've been listening to him because it's like so many guitar players, and I hate to go off on a rant here, but I'm guilty of run-on sentences sometimes when I'm playing a solo where it's just like da 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 da. It's like there's no spaces. And when you watch him, he's like ba da 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 ba da da. Like, wow, that just says so much more. There's just what I'm saying is I'm still learning. I'm still learning and being inspired by all kinds of bands, younger than me, older than me, same age as me. So
when you have written two more, I want to get to, I'll ask you about Peterborough Music Fest because I think it's maybe one of the best things that's been going the last couple of decades. But you're, you know, a song where you're 20 or 25 that you put out, you're in a different spot in your life. So does your relationship to a piece of your art change as you change and mature and get older?
Great question. I don't know if I could be specific about that. I guess, you know, a good example of that would be Patio Lanterns. That there was a time when I was a young lad, and I when I wrote it, I could really reflect on that moment in my life. Now it's when I sing it, I almost not smirk at it, but it's just like that's so long ago. That's like a lifetime has gone by. But it's still a very cool, innocent moment in a human being's life.
Right.
So, I guess I look at things a little differently as I'm older now. But gee, at the same time, this is going to sound really weird. I still feel like I've been 39 for decades when I hit the stage, right? I mean, my body won't work. Like I can't jump around like I used to, but inside my spirit is the same dude that walked on stage in my 20s and sang that stuff. So
you remind me of Rose DeWitt-Picator from Titanic, where she's saying, "The last time I looked at this mirror was April of 1912. And then she looks up at the screen and says, "The reflections changed a bit." And it's the older version of her with the Hope Diamond, where you feel like a piece of time, or you feel an age, and then you realize, oh, I've got a kink in my back, or I slept wrong, or you know, I've got to go pick this or that up. I've taken up more time than I said I would. I did want to ask you about Peterborough Music Fest, just the importance with how computers and technology are changing music, our listening habits. We don't sit down and listen to a full album. We listen to a song and then we go to another song from a different genre. How critical do you think live music is in the joy of people, the experiencing of something in person where somebody's laying it out on the line and it's really authentically there in front of you? It's not something you've called up on your phone.
Well, just look at audiences. There's places are packed. They're packed for young bands. They're packed for older classic rock artists. There's the live music scene. I'm not going to say there's a lot of venues to play, but anytime I go to a show or anytime one of my shows, there's a lot of people. And so however they consume music or don't consume music or it's like off to this band, off to that band, off to this band, the live music thing is still a beautiful experience for human beings to get together and feel that transmission of musical energy. I love playing Del Cray Park. It holds a huge piece of real estate in my heart because we've, you know, some of our bigger crowds have been there, most enthusiastic audiences, and just the memory of that park. As a matter of fact, have visited that park when there is no show.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of, I will be going out for a drive one day and I'll go, I think I'm going to drive to Peterborough and I'm going to go. And I've sat in Del Cray Park I'm not sure if they still have the band shell there, I'd sit there and I'd look, and I'd always look at the apartment building that you play to, and I go, I wonder how they still put up with this, or whether they're writing the city all the time going, God, you got to stop the noise every summer. Because I would understand that too, right? But I didn't answer your question. I sort of wandered off there a little bit, but I love playing Del Cray Park.
Well, the stars in their sky lighting up their life. Saturday night, it's going to be an awesome evening at Del Cray Park. Kim Mitchell, thank you so much for talking to Rock 107, and we can't wait to see you on stage.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Love talking with you as well.